Okay, we are on Vav Amud Aleph. I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to read through it quickly. We're learning about a chick that was born, not an egg, but a chick. Itmar. It was stated. This is just a review from yesterday, so I'm not going to explain it again. But an Efraich Shenoled B'Yomtev, a chick that was born Yomtev. We have on the one hand Rav Amar Aser because it's Muksa Ushmul Vitem Rabbi Yochanan Mamuter. So we have two teams. Rav Amar Aser. Why? Muksa. It's Muksa. Ushmuel v'item, good morning, Ariel, v'item Rav Yochanan mar mutter, why hol matir atzmo b'shchita? Because it can become permissible through the shchita. Okay? So since it can become permissible through the shchita, therefore the chick itself is not muksa. Amle Rav Kana Rav Asi l'Rav. So they ask Rav, who says it's osur this chick, v'chima ben zel le'egel shenol b'yantif. So they wonder, what's the difference between a chick and an eagle and a calf that was born in yantif? Right? So this is where we got up to yesterday. What's the chilek between a chick and a calf? So Amar Lahu, so Rav says back to them, the reason why an eagle that's born in Yom Tov is permissible to eat is because ho'ul u'muchan agav imo b'shchita. Because what's a calf's mother called? Cow, right? Since you could shech the cow and have steak and mamela, whatever's inside the cow is permissible, so therefore the calf was already permissible before Yom Tov. It's not muksa. So therefore the calf is permissible if it's born on Yom Tov. So they say back, so that's what Rav said to them. That's why the calf is permissible. Good morning, boys. Welcome back. So the Gemara then says, Rav Kana and Rav Asi both ask Rav, wait a second. If you take your logic seriously, let's take your logic to the next level. Uma bein zeh le'egel shenolad min ha'treifa. Wait, what's the difference between a chick and an eagle that's born from a treifa? What's a treifa? Misconception. Ah, correct. Not an animal that's not kosher, but an animal that is kosher that has a punctured lung or a lung that the animal won't be able to survive a year. If you look in the front right, there's plenty of bases in the front right.
What is the halakha
of a chick? Oh, so we're going to get to that in a second. So let me just explain this first. So they say, question, Rav. Rav, your logic is impeccable when it comes to a kosher v'yosher cow, that the cow will give birth to a calf, and since the cow is permissible on Friday, the calf that's born on Yom Tov is going to be permissible as well. But what about a calf that was born to a treif cow? The cow itself, the cow was muksa because you couldn't eat it because it's treif. So why should that calf not be muksa? And yet, that calf, we think, is not muksa at this point. So just like the calf from a treif mother is not muksa, so too a chick from a chicken, chick from a chicken that was born on Yom Tov should be permissible as well. And that's what the Gemara says. Uma bein zeh le'egel shenolad min ha'treifa. So you know what Rav does? Shusik Rav. Rav keeps quiet. A very non-Gemaradic answer, right? How often do we see a Tana or an Amora say, I give up? He's quiet. Okay. But Rav could have had an answer. Maybe there is a difference. Amar Rabba v'itema Rav Yosef, my time of Shusik Rav. Why was Rav quiet? Why did Rav give up the fight so easily? Lemal, who let him say to them, Hoil, Muchan agav imo leklavin. Who says that cow that gave birth to the calf, even though it's treif, who says that cow is muksa and gansin? That cow has a function. Which makes it not muksa? What function does that cow have? You could feed the cow to the dogs. And since you could feed the cow to the klavim, to the dogs, therefore the mom is not muksa, which means when the gives birth to the egel is not muksa. Masha ein ken a chick. So why didn't Rav say that? So Amalei Abayi says to Rabbi Rav Yosef, according to what you said, that since it was already ra'i leklavim, when to the dogs, when yontif start, therefore it's also ready for man, right? And it doesn't fall on it muksa. He's turning over to vav and beis hashda. Muchan la'adam lo'ayv muchan la'klavim. If it's muchan for a human, it's not set aside for animals. See, and then he wants to flip it as well. This non, we learned a Mishnah as well. Mechatchin es hadluin. One is allowed to cut up a gourd that was disconnected from the ground, lefnei behema, in front of an animal on Shabbos, and we don't say that it's for no purpose. Ve'es hanevela, furthermore, we could cut up a nevela lefnei haklavim. A nevela is an animal that died without shechita in front of a dog, even though it wasn't prepared for the dogs before Yontif. That's according to Reb Shimon. But Reb Yehuda Omer, im lo yaseh nevela me'erev Shabbos, if it wasn't a nevela from Erev Shabbos, asura, it is usher to the dogs, lefi she'ena min amuchen, because it wasn't prepared. Ooh, because, right, so this is Reb Yehuda. So we see from here that which is prepared for humans is not necessarily prepared for dogs. So therefore, how could it be that muchen leklavim have a muchen le'adam? Just because it's muchen leklavim, it's prepared for dogs, doesn't make it muchen le'adam. So here is what he could have said back. Again, let's review the whole conversation. We want to say that if something is mukse, that the child should be mukse as well. But wait a second, the cow isn't muksa. Why isn't the cow muksa? Because what could I do to the cow, even though it's a trefah, what could I do to the cow? I could give it to the dogs. And therefore, that's why the calf is permissible. Wait a second. But you want to make a correlation. Something good for a human is not going to be necessarily good for the dogs. And something good for the dogs, we're making corollaries, is not necessarily good for the humans, which means that this cow is treif is not going to help out the calf. Why won't it help out the calf? Because even though I could feed the cow to the dogs, that doesn't help, because something that's set aside for the dogs is not necessarily set aside for humans. And since mom is not set aside for humans, you know what else is not set aside for humans? The child. So Amalei, so Rabbi says back, in Taka, that's true. Muchen l'adam, if it's something set aside for humans, lo have a muchen l'klavim. The mai chazil inish lo shadi le l'klavim, because whatever humans could have, you don't give to the dogs. What do we give to the dogs? The scraps, the stuff that we would never eat, right? But muchen leklavim, but that which is set aside for dogs, have a muchen leadam. If I could upgrade it, I could. I would. Kivin to die to inish, akol midi dechazle. Humans think about everything they could have, they will eat. I know this? You ever go to a smorgasbord, right? There's nothing that's going to be left. We chap around whatever we can, right? So therefore what? That people think about eating everything, therefore he thinks about it Erev Yom Tov, even on the calf in the mother's stomach. That's treif. That if it's going to be born on Yom Tov, you're allowed to shecht it and eat it. So now we have a distinction between the cow and the chick. When a cow is pregnant, even though the cow is treif, it's still considered muchen la'adam. Why is it considered prepared for a man? Because even though the mother is treif, people say, whatever I could eat, I will eat. And therefore, the calf of a cow, even though it came from a treif mother, people have their mind on it. Okay? So that's what Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say to Abaye to answer up this kasha as to what's the difference between the chick and the mommy. So now we're going to have brises that align themselves according to Rav and Shmuel. Take a step back and review. According to Rav, a chick that's born on Yom Tov is prohibited. According to Shmuel, a chick that's born on Yom Tov is permitted. So, Tanya Kavasei de Rav and Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel Vitam Rabbi Yochanan. There's a brisa that aligns itself like Rav, and there's a brisa that aligns itself like Shmuel. And now they're going to say each one. Tanya Kavasei de Rav, that it is prohibited. Egel Shinola be Yom Tov Mutter. An egel that's born on Yom Tov is Mutter. But a froach, which is our case, Shinola be Yom Tov is Aser. But an froach, a chick that's born on Yom Tov is Aser. So ask the Gemara, Umay Hefresh Ben Zeh L'Zeh, what's the distinction between the two, between the chick that is prohibited and the calf that is permitted? So he answers again, Zeh Muchan Agav Imo B'Shchita, V'Zeh Eino Muchan Agav Imo. One is considered Muchan / not Muksa because of its mommy, that's the cow / calf, V'Zeh, and the chick is not considered prepared Agav its mommy, because there is no mommy of a chick, because what does a chick emerge from? An egg. So there's no such thing as that being prepared before it. Okay, so that's the brisa, that's like Rav. Now we're going to have a brisa that aligns itself like Shmuel. Tanya kavasei de Shmuel. There's a brisa that aligns itself like Shmuel. Vitam Rabbi Yochanan. Egel shenol b'yom tov is mutter. An egel that's born on yom tov is mutter. Ve'afroach shenol b'yom tov is mutter. And a chick that emerges on yom tov is permissible as well. Like Shmuel says, the Ramayi Taima, what's the reason that we allow you to have each and every one of them? Zemuchan, the egel, the calf is permissible, agav imo, alt its mami, right, which we said. Vizeh, now the chick, matir atzmo b'shchita, right? When you shechted the chick in, or when you shech the chick after it's born, that is going to permit it. And since it's allowed to be shechted, it also is not considered muksa right from the moment it's born. It's a very interesting svara. Since the chick is allowed to be shechted on yantif, because we're allowed to shecht on yantif, because we're allowed to prepare food, therefore, from the moment the chick emerges from the egg, it is not considered muksa. Okay. What do you call out of rabbis in a room? Good, just making sure you guys are with me. That might be the first one?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you call out of rabbis in a room? See, Harry's good time, right? Tanu Rabbana, a lot of rabbis in a room. So says the Gemara, Ephroach should all be Yom Tov Aser. So that was saying an Ephroach that's born on Yom Tov is Aser, like Rav. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov ups the ante. Omer, he says, Af Bechol Aser. I was wondering about this the whole time. Even a chick, the day it's born, is going to be Aser. Okay? Why? Lefi Loin is Paschu Enof. Because it still has not opened up its eyes yet, and it's judged like a sheretz. A sheretz is a creepy crawly thing, right? Which you're not allowed to have on any day, right? Agav hashkafically, that's us. When we wake up in the morning, it's funny, we don't say, if you look through our brachas, they go sequentially, right? What's the one bracha we don't say in sequence? We don't say, first we say, we hear the chick, right? Asher nasa l'sech v'vina l'afchim ben yom l'ayla. Then we give all these brachas, shevach v'odav, Goy, Eved, Isha. And then we say, Pekech Ivrim, that we opened up our eyes. So we say Pekech Ivrim before the Goy and the Eved and the Isha. Why do we say it then? So Mary Degvart this week, that Shkreich, that we opened up our eyes and saw things. But the only time our eyes seeing things has any value is we're able to see Kedusha in the Velt, which is, you know, Goy, Eved, Isha, right? That's what real opening the eyes are. So if you can't open up your eyes and you can't see things, you're garnished, you're a sheketz, you're nothing. It doesn't attain a level of kedusha. Okay, that's just al-pi hashkafa. I was thinking about this morning. Okay, now back to our regularly scheduled program. So the reason why you can't eat the chick is that it doesn't see anything yet. So kemana az lahad desanya, who is the following brisa like? I hope we're able to finish this today. If not, we will conclude on Monday. So now we have the following brisa. Who is it like? It says in Pasuk, in Vayikra, l'chol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz al ha-aretz, to all the sheretz that's creepy crawling on the land, full Pasuk, l'rabos efrachim shalonis paschu eneim. This comes to include chicks that emerge, that have not yet opened their eyes, that they're usher to eat. Kiman, who is this like? So that's fine, that's Kribbala Tzman Yaakov. Nice and simple, that's like Kribbala Tzman Yaakov, who doesn't allow you to eat a chick the day it's born, because it hasn't yet opened its eyes. So Amr of Hunam Marav, Zok the Helig Rav, Beitza, an egg, this I want you to hold. This is the one that we're going to have to spend a lot of time on. I want you to underline these words because we're going to try our best for the next Amid, figure out what this line is talking about. This is a very ambiguous line. What is it talking about? Beitza, an egg, imitziyasa, when it comes out of the chicken, nigmara, it is complete. But an egg that is somehow not emerged is not nigmara. So that, what are we talking about? What? Oh, we're going to discuss that. Let's say you see, right? We're going to discuss a lot of things. But this brisa is ambiguous and hard for us to understand. So the Gemara says, "My, what does it mean, quotes, put this in quotes, imitziyasa nigmara. What does it mean when it says, when it comes out, it's complete? What does that mean? Possibility number one. Elema, if you say that what we're talking about means the following, imitziyasa nigmara umuteres la'achla b'chalav. If you're going to tell me that it means that this chicken is no longer part of the animal, which means you're allowed to eat it with milk when it comes out because it's no longer considered. What makes it allowed to be with milk if it's no longer considered meat, fleisch, right? Wait a second, habimeima, that would tell me that it only when it emerges is its usher, but if it's in its mother's womb, it's prohibited. Habimeima, but when it's in its mother's womb, it's not judged like an egg, but rather like part of the flesh of its mother. V'asur la'achla b'chalav, and it'll be prohibited to eat with milk. Aye, how could that be? Aye, v'hatanya. Didn't we learn in the brisa? Hashechet es ha-tarnagolus. If one shechted a chicken, u'matza b'beitzim, and luck has it, you found some eggs inside, gemuros that are already completed, muteris la'achle b'chalav, you're allowed to have them with milk. So therefore, strike one of the brisa. It can't be talking about that when it emerges, it's complete, that it's no longer considered fleishix, because even if it was inside the mother's womb, you'd be able to eat it with, you know, you'd be able to eat it with milk. It's not considered fleishix. So what are we talking about? Option number two. Ella, rather, it means, when it comes out, it's complete, and now, muteris la'achle b'yomtiv. Therefore, you're allowed to eat it on yomtiv. Because it is, meaning even if it was born on Erev Yomtiv, now it's done, and you're allowed to eat it on Yomtiv because it's considered as if it was born on Chol. So wait a second. So we're saying, if it's, let's review, if Yomtiv is Tuesday and it came down on Monday, so you're allowed to eat it on Tuesday, how the assumption would be, b'mayima, let's say I found the egg inside the chicken on Yomtiv itself. I shechted a chicken, I found the egg in the chicken on Tuesday Yomtiv. Asur l'achle b'yomtiv? You would say it's asur to eat on yomtiv? Would you really say such a thing? Right? Meaning, the brisa says if it comes out, it's mutter. Mashma, if it's still inside, it's asur. Is that true? If I shek the chicken on yomtiv, I can't eat the egg? Ay, v'hatanya, didn't we learn in a brisa? Hashaychet es ha'tarnagolos u'matzo beisim gemurim. If I shekted a chicken and I found eggs that were complete, it's mutaris l'achle b'yomtiv. I'd be able to eat it on yomtiv. So how could Rav argue on the Braisa? So now we're going to give a suggestion that we're going to reject. V'chitim, and maybe you'll say that the Allah is not like that Braisa, and kamash malon, b'braisa, ma'i delo ashmainim b'misnisin, and the Braisa is coming to tell me what I didn't learn yet in the Mishnah. Right? The din chiddush is, that which is not written, hanami tini, we already learned in a Mishnah, Beferish, that a beitza shenolda biyamtif beishame omrim teachal. That beishame says you could eat it and beisil omrim lo teachal. The first mission in the Masechta, an egg that was born on yamtif. There's the machlokas beishame and beisil. But adkan lo pligi beishame beisil ella binolda. They only argue about an egg that was born on yamtif. Aval b'mei iman. But if it's in the mother's womb, what's the halacha? Divrei kol shayin. Everybody would say it's permissible. Everybody would say it's permissible. And furthermore, v'chitema beis hillel afilu b'me'imo nami asri. And if you're going to come and tell me that beis hillel says an egg that was born in yontif is asr, and an egg in the mother's stomach is also asr, how could that be? V'haydik tani nolda, and it only says nolda lo'diach ha'koychen de beis shama, it's only coming to tell me that a beis ha'shenola, that even an egg that was born in yontif is going to be permissible. Tafilu nolda nami shari. Maybe you'll say such a thing. Hard to say that. Elohadisan, you can't say that. Why? Because I got to read a little bit more. Hashoychet es ha'tarnagol u'matzo beisa gemuros. If one checks the tarnagol and you find eggs that are complete, muteris lo'achle b'yomtiv, you can eat them on yomtiv. Lo kebei shamai, lo kebei sil. That wouldn't come out like beis shamai sil. It wouldn't come out like beis shamai because beis shamai says it doesn't need to be nolad, and it wouldn't be like beis sil because beis sil says even if it is nolad, it's aser. So who was the one saying a beis that's nolad on yomtiv is permissible? It's not beis shamai nor beis sil. So now we're stuck. What are we stuck with? We don't know what the Braisa means. The Braisa says a Beitza that was complete on Yontif is permissible. Who is that like? What is that talking about? In order to find out, you got to come back on Monday.